You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
It's spring, and we have the latest fashion trends for your riding outfits. Hint, there's no florals. And this week, we're talking about how the Paynes designed and built their dream barn. And a special friend of the show is going to stop by later. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Justine Griffin.
I'm Jessica Payne.
And I'm Ellie Woznicka. Psych!
From Heels Down Mag, a podcast where horse pros chat about what's happening in the horse world over drinks.
Welcome to Happy Hour.
Poor Ellie is traveling right now, so she's not going to be on this episode, womp womp. But welcome to episode 136 of Heels Down Happy Hour. What's up, Jess?
How's it going?
Good, good. How are you? How are you guys?
I'm good, you know, getting busy. We're wrapping up school and getting ready for kind of some different shows this summer that I'm really excited to kind of show series that we haven't done before. We're going to do something different this summer, and I'm really excited.
Nice. I know. You guys are just fresh off a try-on, right?
Yes, yes. And so try-on was great. It was fun because it was the same as the eventing weekends. We got to actually go watch some cross-country and everything. It was, I think, probably strange for Doug. He's watching, you know, the four-star go, and he's like, yep, don't miss this. I'm glad to be cheering on friends. But, you know, then we jumped that night, and they were really good. So, yeah, overall, it was a good weekend.
That's awesome.
What's been new with you?
You know, good question. I'm going to save some of that for my Rose and Thorn later, but everything's pretty good down here. It's hot, like overnight. It feels like summer. I don't know if you guys are getting like this crazy warm air that's rolling off.
We're not too bad yet. You guys are, I think, feeling a lot of summer, and we've got some warm days, but still, you know, kind of crisp mornings to say where you're kind of still in long sleeves or like a vest or a sweater. So that's kind of nice.
I know. See, I need to go up to you guys. It's crazy. We're getting this like crazy heat wave that's coming from Texas over the Gulf, and just it's like super humid, but no rain. Like I've never wanted rain more in my life.
Oh, we get rain like every other day. So I think we're getting rain again this week a couple more times. So yeah, we've had a normal amount of rain right now. So it's still nice, but I'm sure we will have a lot of dry, you know, spells coming in our future.
Right, exactly. It's like, be careful what you wish for, because in 2 weeks is the start of hurricane season, so it seems crazy to want rain, too. But this episode is brought to you by Yanmar. All right, Jess, I have a really special drink for you on this episode that I think is going to be up your alley, actually. And since you're heading to Michigan this summer, it seems timely for you guys. So this drink is brought to you by Traverse City Horse Shows, our friends up north who are all geared up for their fun spring and summer series to kick off now that winter and most of the spring stuff down here along the East Coast is dying down. Everything gets like geared up for the beautiful weather in Michigan this time of year. And what Traverse City and that northern part of Michigan is known for is actually cherries. Did you know that?
I do. They have like a cherry festival and cherry picking and a bunch of different things that a couple of friends had told me that we have to do with the kids while we're up there.
Yeah, I know. I think that's so cool. Like the local distilleries and breweries there like incorporate cherries into their flavors since it's a local thing. So
that's cool.
The Traverse City inspired drink that we got from Traverse City Horse Shows for this episode is called a Michigan Mule. So it's a very Michigan take on a Moscow Mule, which we're obvious big fans of on the show.
Yeah. We've had
plenty of variation of mules on previous episodes, but this one specific for Michigan, you're going to need about 2 ounces of the vodka of your choice. If you have a specific brand that you like, 1.5 ounces of tart cherry concentrate, which is interesting. I didn't even know that was a thing you could buy. About 3/4 ounce of lime juice and about 4 to 6 ounces of ginger beer. And then for garnish, you could do lime slices. They recommend frozen tart cherries, which sounds delicious, just to toss in there. And the instructions are easy. You're literally just going to add all of these ingredients, stir it well, and then put it into your copper mug with ice.
Yum.
And then you just top it with the ginger beer and then with your garnishes. It sounds like a lovely, refreshing, nice cold drink to have on a summer day at the lake, right?
Yeah.
Or at the Grand Prix at Traverse City Horse Shows, or, you know, like it sounds like a wonderful vacation drink. So anyways, this is our Traverse City Horse Show inspired cocktail. And to celebrate them kicking off their spring and summer series, we're going to give away a $50 gift certificate, which is redeemable at the Traverse City Horse Show's merch tent, which is on the show grounds at Traverse City. You could head to our Instagram page to participate in that. So keep an eye out at our at Heelsdown Happy Hour account for how you can be enrolled to win.
That's pretty cool.
But Jess, what do you have for news?
So another 5-star is coming up. Another list of entries came out for Lemulin. So they do have a 4-star and they have a 5-star as well. But I really want to touch on some of the American riders. And shout out to Mike Winters, actually taking his mount. El Mundo is going in the 5-star. And so there's a good list of horses that we can cheer on. And notably in the U.S., Allison Springer on that little mare, No May Moon, is doing her first 5-star, the mare is. I love them. So I'm so excited to go cheer on Allison. Obviously, you know, there will be a lot of coverage of it. Sharon White is bringing Klaus. Crosby Green is in the 5-star, and along with Alexis Gardenberg. So there's a number of, you know, American riders. Yeah, Jenny Karras is taking the Summerby horse. And then there's some younger people, Mia Farley and Olivia Dutton are in the 4-star. So there's a good bit of kind of, and Alex O'Neill is also in the 4-star. So it's a good bit to cheer for, which I'm excited to watch because Lemulin's always a fun, you know, it's in the middle of summer, kind of, you can watch it and there's always live coverage of it. So it's good.
What makes Lemulin special to you, Jess? Like, what makes it stand out from, like, other European 5-stars or just, is there something
it's
about
just,
it?
That, no, it's just more so, like, you know, once you've got badminton and Kentucky or back-to-back, you kind of, like, go into this lull of, like, oh, there's not another 5-star till, you know, right, you have Mars, Maryland, and then you have Burley. So it's kind of that mix where you kind of get your fix a little bit in the middle of summer.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm excited.
And, you know, there's, it's one of those, like, you know, there aren't that many 5-stars in eventing. So you kind of, you know, get to watch it and cheer and see how everybody's doing and see some of the best go and ride. And it's fun. I mean, good riding is always fun to watch.
Absolutely. No, I'm excited to watch too.
What do you have for news?
Well, so I feel like we have to talk about this because for the first time in many, many years, there are 3 Americans ranked number 1 in the world at the top.
It's so impressive.
Of the FEI world rankings across different disciplines, which is pretty darn cool. So this is actually the first time ever 3 U.S. athletes are at the top of their world rankings. And those 3 riders we're talking about are Boyd Martin, of course, who after Kentucky made it to number 1. And that was the first time in 21 years that an American was the world number 1. I think Kim, right?
Whoa.
Yeah. Isn't that
probably
crazy?
Kim.
Yeah. So Boyd, I mean, that's pretty amazing. That is.
That's impressive.
Cool achievement. Yeah. And feels well deserved and a long time in the making for him. That's for sure. So, you know, if we look at Boyd's career, he's 45. He's had 4 top 10 5-star finishes. I mean, and we know so many of his horses that have helped him get there, right? Like some of the more recent ones are the Luke 140 horse, the Miss Lulu herself, On Cue, Thomas, of course. Then some of the new ones we've seen in recent years, like Ferdinand B, who he took to the Olympics, Commando 3. I mean, he just has a really like star-studded lineup these days. It's pretty cool to see. But so for show jumping, the world number 1 right now is Ken
Farrington. He has been on fire. He has been on fire.
He's incredible. He's just
it's amazing.
You watch him come into the ring and it's just like he operates on a world of his own. You know what I mean? It's
absolutely.
It is very cool to watch him go. It's cool. The Chronicle of the Horse did these cool like little like players cards on all of them. And one of the stats they have here for Kent is that his clear rate going clear at a meter 60, his round clear rate is 48.4%, which sounds like pretty dang high. So
it's unbelievable. If you pull up his like, you know, starts and everything, he has over, I think, 1,000 5-star starts or something. Like, it's ridiculous, the numbers. Yeah. Like, if you go to pull up his stats and everything, it's pretty impressive.
And the meter, he's won 6 meter 60 wins, which is pretty crazy.
I think several of those were this spring. Like he has won a ton this spring.
He is on fire.
He is on fire.
And then the last one is Fiona Howard. You should know that name. Fiona was at Paris Paralympic Games. They compete in para dressage. You know, they're only 26 years old. That's amazing. So
that's amazing.
Their average score in a para Grand Prix test is a 77%. That's pretty cool.
Whoa.
And their average in a freestyle is 80%. I mean, that's pretty remarkable and speaks for itself.
Right.
So this is very cool. The Chronicle of the Horse did a nice job of like comparing stats. If you want to learn more about their career and their trajectories on how they got here, it's fun to read that. And for like Boyd and Kent, you know, like they're at the top of the sport and they're like mid 40s. That like gives me hope for me.
Yes.
I'm not peaking yet. You know, there's still time, right?
Absolutely.
So, and then our last news item, we're going to do one for Ellie because she's traveling to New Mexico right now to do a really cool thing. She's headed to a place called Via Nova Training. They're having an event on their beautiful property out there where they do dressage training and clinics and workshops. But what they're known for is introducing equestrians to positive reinforcement training. I feel like saying that out loud it makes me a little squeamish just because there are lots of opinions about what that means in the horse world right now. And I don't know that there's like one strong or one definition that everybody would agree on. But Ellie is going out there to observe and see what it's all about. And I think she'll have an interesting perspective to bring back to the show. So stay tuned for a future episode where we're going to hear what Ellie learns from this group at Via Nova this weekend.
The competitive environment in which horses perform are inherently unnatural. Separated from their herd, surrounded by movement and noise, their heightened awareness can make them unpredictable and reactive, compromising both performance and safety. Cinchel Pure is designed to help mitigate these natural fears while maintaining clarity and control. Made with pure plant-based amino acids, Cinchel Pure promotes a sense of confidence in your horse without dulling their competitive edge. Learn more at sinutraequine.com. And this is a product that we have talked about before, and I absolutely love. A lot of our horses use the Pure, or they use the G-Chill, or a variation of different products. So I'm excited that you guys get a coupon code for the month of May. If you use HEELSDOWN20, you get $20 off through May. So Justine, you want to talk about all the new colors for the spring?
Yes. Okay. So I'm very excited to have Belted Out Goods, which we talked about last year in our Heels Down Holiday gift guide. They are back in 2025 and better than ever. And if you remember, Madeline is basically the power behind the brand. She's a young girl, a teenager whose sister is a competitive equestrian, and she used her seamstress skills to create a business as a teenager of making those stretchy fabric equestrian belts that we love so much that are very trendy right now. And so she hand makes them and has beautiful clasp hardware, different types of clasp hardware to choose from, and sells these belts under her business, which is called Belted Out Goods. Well, Belted Out Goods just released their spring collection, and they have a bunch of really beautiful new shades and colors for their belts. And we got to test those out and are happy to share them with you guys. So the four new colors that they have for spring are lilac. It's like a beautiful, soft, pale purple. Spring green, which is like a really sharp, like aquamarine green. It's very bright. Willow blue, it's like a slate blue, like a little bit of a muted light blue. And poppy pink, like a really sharp, fun, light pink color. They're beautiful. They're definitely like, you look at them all together and you're like, yes, this is absolutely a spring collection. So these colors are available for a limited time while this collection is live and current. Belted Out Goods releases new belts every season. And these belts come with a variety of different belt buckles. So like they have the cute like D-ring looking clasp, but there are a variety of different ones. I think the bit one is my favorite. But what I love about these belts is they're so size inclusive. Like, there's a size for everybody because of the nice stretchy material. They look great in on every rider body. It doesn't matter what discipline you ride or if you're looking for something for like a show look, because even if you wanted to be loud and show some personality, you can have that pop of color underneath your coat. But as a dressage rider, this I live for matchy-matchy now. So
oh my goodness.
I am happy to have all the different colors to mix and match with my outfits. Like, I took Mikey to Terra Nova for his second rated dressage show last month, and I rode two tests in one day. And I'm almost embarrassed to admit this, but I changed my whole outfit for the second test, like new pad,
I'm
new boots,
dying.
Totally new outfit, two different belts.
I can't.
Just for the pictures.
For the pictures. So it looks like, what, you're in two different shows or two different horses.
Totally. And I'm not ashamed. Okay.
That is some, literally. I don't even have any words.
So I feel like this is me now. I'm all about accessories to make my outfits look better. And belted out goods is hands down my number one choice for a good riding belt. I love that they have different widths, but I'm a really thick belt person. I like it to like fill up the belt loop, and they just fit so naturally in my favorite pair of breeches. Like I mostly wear tailored sportsmen's day to day, and they're like, I don't know if the company would recommend this, but I leave the belt in them to wash because they're a fabric belt and the hardware is so heavy duty. Like, I've never had a problem.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd recommend it.
I wouldn't recommend that.
It makes a loud noise in the washer, but,
right? But
beyond that, they're great and they're clean when they come out with my breeches. So if you want to check out Belted Out Goods for yourself, you could go to their website. It's BeltItOutGoods, GOODS.com, and you'll want to check out their spring collection. And again, these colors are only available for a limited time, so don't wait. We did a fun reel this week on our Instagram pairing the new colored belts with like a variety of different riding outfits. So not only for horse shows, but for a clinic wear or a lesson wear, if you want to dress up an outfit, or even just like your everyday riding outfit, like just to go hack around and maybe you got to stop at the grocery store on the way home and you want to feel like you're a little dressed up. There's an easy way to do that with a belt. So again, check it out at beltedoutgoods.com. From dragging arenas to hauling hay, maintaining pastures and more, Yanmar tractors are built for the demands of equestrian life. Whether you're caring for a few horses at home or running a busy boarding barn, Yanmar delivers the power, comfort, and reliability you need. Trusted by riders, barn owners, and even a few friends of the podcast, discover why Yanmar is built better, backed longer. Visit Yanmar Tractor, that's YanmarTractor.com to learn more. So Jess, I want to take a walk back in time with you.
Oh gosh.
Stick with me though. You know, I was thinking about you guys the other day, like when we started the podcast, you guys were still based in Aiken and
yeah,
you had bought your land for your farm and like you guys had this whole plan to move to North Carolina and
Remember? And it was like a 9 month or no, Doug told me we were going to be here in like 6 to 9 months. And 7 years later we moved.
Exactly.
That one. Yeah.
So it was a long time coming, but now you've been on the farm for a couple years, you know.
I think we're 4 years now.
Wow. Yeah. It's been your home base. And I've wanted to ask you these questions of just how you guys planned for that property. Like, because I feel like you did it right. You took your time. You guys have been in different facilities basically all up and down the East Coast at this point. Like, yep. So you got a taste of what you liked, like what worked, what didn't in terms of like layouts and arenas and what an opportunity to like design your own place, you know? So when you guys bought your property in North Carolina, did you have an idea of what you wanted to build or was it just a dream for the future? Like
oh,
one day?
I mean, we were like, I mean, starting with how much time it was going to take, we were completely clueless and naive about all of it. And so, so we bought the property and that took a process. Like we put an offer on another property that had a barn and a house. And like, I truly believe everything happens for a reason. It fell through and it was a smaller barn and smaller acreage. And we were a different honestly, our model was different back then anyways. We had less horses, everything else. And so when we came across this property, it was actually 2 15-acre lots, but owned by the same guy. But they said, nobody wants to buy 30 acres. We're like, we don't want to buy anything less than 20. So it worked out. We bought the property, and then it was a hay farm. It had one random tree on it, and it had an old barn shed that like was like storage type place. So we thought, oh, this is going to be so fun. Like, we can use part of the barn and like use the material. Well, no, it was like not usable basically once we tore it down. So we tore it down, and we had a lady named Holly Matt, and she's based out of Southern Pines. And so we met her. And so she is with the Pegasus Design Group, and we had her come out to the empty property and say, okay, like, where do we put things? Cause I mean, like, that's not Doug and I's forte. So she did a whole like, okay, we're going to do it. Maybe you can't afford to do all this, but you want to do your dream property all in one piece of paper. So we met with her several times. She looked at like the wind, the sun, the just different aspects of the property, how it would be best laid out, where the arena could go, if we wanted a covered on the arena, how far back. Like, so basically we weren't changing the property. We built it and then decided something different. So one of the things we did change was we were originally going to be 28 stalls in the main barn. And when we first laid out the pad, I mean, I'm very loud, and I'm not sure you were going to be able to hear me from one end to the other. And so I was like, well, it was just too long. Like, it was just one long, like, eternity is what it looked like. And so it maybe it would have worked, but we were originally going to financially only build one wing of it. So we were going to do 14 stalls, the center section. And then when we had like more money, build 14 more. So many different like iterations of the plans kind of changed, but the layout kind of always stayed the same. Like, we still have the drawings that are super cool. Like, it, she laid out where the paddocks were going to go. She laid out where like the cross country was going to go. She laid out all of it. And so it was a really cool, like, overlook of the whole property. And, same with like the layout of our, you know, house and the barn. And a lot of it came from where we had been in other places. Like, what do we like and what do we not? So anyways, we decided to cut it down to the 20 stalls in the main barn and do 10 on each side. And we built it all at once. And it was a much better, I mean, like, we joke, Doug's like, do you remember we almost did like one side of the barn? Like, what were we thinking? And I was like, dude, it would have been so awkward and probably never finished off. And I was like, oh my goodness. So, you know, we just, you know, Doug told me we were going to be here in 6 months. I was like, dude, you're crazy. Like, it's going to be 9 months to a year. No, man, we're both crazy because it took us 7. And so, yeah, I mean, there were lots of people helped us design, and lots of experience in different barns helped.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, I understand the experience it's how you learn what you like and what works and what doesn't, you know? So now that you've lived in it for 4 years, what are the things that you feel like you really did right? Like, the most important features, either in the house or the barn or your pastures, like out, you know, on the land, your arena. Like, what do you like? Oh, thank God we did this, because it makes such a difference.
Where the kids were little and like had to do it, I'm so glad we live like above the barn. I mean, it was the only way that we could do it. It was under one roof anyways. But the fact that they're right there, you know, like, so when we had the nannies or the babysitters or whatever else, they were just there so we could run up really quickly, you know, if somebody had anything. And I love our porch overlooks our arena, and so we can sit outside and enjoy it, and like our tack room's right below it. And so same thing, our big tack room lounge goes out to the patio where you go out to the arena, so everything's kind of, you can see the action and everything else right out the back. So like our deck, and I mean, Holly did an amazing job. She did it where the sun rises on our patio and it sets behind it. So like when the shade, it's not like our patio is not sun at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So if it's really hot in the summertime, you're not in, like, your feet don't burn on the deck. Like, you can walk outside because it's all shade.
That is nice.
Even though it has no overhang.
Yeah.
Smart. And the other huge thing, and this was due to experience of living above a barn before, is our closest horse is 24 feet from any of our walls. So you don't hear them banging their buckets. You don't hear them. Like, you hear them if something's wrong, but you don't hear just the noise of the horses every day or when they're at night.
Ah, I see.
Okay. That was another big thing that we got right. But that was due to the fact we had lived above a barn and we could hear everybody.
Yeah, you've been there.
So we're like, yeah, so we did, you know, 8 wash rack bays or grooming stalls, like a collection of it.
Gotcha. Okay.
And that's what took up it. They're 2 stalls each, basically, on each side, 4 on each wing.
Oh, I know. Cause it looks so open and like nice and open there in your wash bays.
She did a tiered, we have very, very good ventilation as well. She did a great job in the roof that, like, basically you've got 2 overhangs of ventilation. So the barn does stay very, like, we don't have individual fans in the barn. We just have ceiling fan, like big fans in the center aisleway. That's it. That's all we need.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And you guys, I mean, you've lived there, but you're constantly making like little subtle improvements that are like, Doug.
Sometimes they're subtle. Sometimes they're big projects that Doug's like, hey, guess what we're going to do today? I'm like, oh, please, nothing.
My goodness, because like I feel like I've watched you like put up the mirrors in the arena, and then Doug did like a whole series of posts on like the French drains around your like landscaping one time, I think. You know,
yeah, because the water was coming through, and there's a lot of things we messed up, right? So like we've had to go back through, and so we had to take up all the rock and the stuff and put French drains around the entire barn. And so there are a lot of things I've learned in this project that I did not want to know how to do that I've like learned that I am very good at. And I'm like, well, that was, I didn't really want to be that builder. I really didn't want to be able to like, you know.
And now you know.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm really good at building. I'm like, this is not what I wanted to be very good at, to be honest. I mean, somebody else to be good at.
Some of it's cool though. Like, I mean, Doug's like, I see him out on the tractor and he's like, you guys just built a brand new ditch and like with elevation.
He put a whole drop that looks like Spruce Meadows. It drops down in and he did it with,
You did it all with your tractor? Just the tractor?
We did it all with the tractor. Well, that's not true. The guy that built our arena, Clint, was building another arena and he had his big bulldozer. They spent a day. And so Doug did the Yanmar tractor and he did a bunch, and then they had another piece of equipment, which I honestly don't know the name of it. And so they did it together, but then Doug could finish it off. So like it was all, we have 12 inches of topsoil, but like below it is a lot of clay. So when they were moving dirt around, Doug is taking like the compost and stuff from top, and he goes and gets the tractors and his dump truck. That was like, I think today or yesterday's project, that he took the dump truck and the tractor and used the bucket of the tractor and could fill it all in and then put straw on top of it. So we'll have really good grass basically so that we can use it shortly.
Good
apparently.
Planning. Yeah.
He loves his equipment. He loves his tractors, and the UTV is supposed to be, cause I mean, that's another thing we had at other properties were UTVs. And that is like a crucial one for us here is like, to our shavings and hay are out in an auxiliary barn, which is great. It keeps all of our storage. But like for the girls, efficiency wise, like if they were having to go get bags of shavings, like in a wheelbarrow one by one, they can put them in the back of the Yanmar and like drive it down the center of the barn or, you know, pick out paddocks or whatever else.
For sure. I mean, and then just you guys can drag your arena with the equipment. You know what I mean?
Oh, like it just, I'm pretty sure Luis is like obsessed with the one that is a full cab because he drags the arena sometimes twice a day. He does a lot of mowing and he loves to like go take the manure up top and get it spread. And like he loves the tractors. He said it was like Christmas when we got the new tractors.
So do you have any advice, having lived through all of this now, for someone who's considering buying property and they want to build their dream barn, like where would you tell them to start?
100% I would have them start with somebody that is an architect that does equestrian and can kind of lay out. And, you know, just the process she took us through, like talking about, you know, this is the end all. Maybe you can't, I mean, we couldn't afford to do it all at once, right? And so we did pieces of it at a time. And that's kind of been the biggest thing, is we had the layout the whole time.
Wow.
Which was really nice.
That's awesome. That's very cool. You'll have to do like a video for us and take us on a full tour. That would be cool to see.
So Doug has already done a drone of the whole property, and it was super cool. And he has I think it's already on YouTube.
Oh, perfect. I'll have to send it to you.
Yeah. Yes, because he did a whole layout because, you know, we wanted, the other mistake I did, this was funny. We built the big lounge, and I wanted somewhere where like we could have a computer, like a whole couch and, you know, a kitchen area and fridge and sink, so that our clients could kind of hang out in there, and it's air conditioning, but then it would have our tech that it was like a multi-use, like, lounge / our nice tech room, and we could have pictures up and, you know, everything else. And I have my bit cabinet and everything. But I wanted a lot of windows so you could overlook into the, you know, patio and the arena. But when we moved in, there was no wall space for the saddles.
Oh no. Kind of need that.
I was like, so we had like two walls that like were for the bridles, and like we needed all of the wall space. And I looked and I go, yeah, I think where those two big windows are, I think that's where the saddles were supposed to go. And I was like, so my best friend during a lot of this was Pinterest. I got a lot of ideas off Pinterest. And there was one barn, and it had a post in the corner, and it had like the pegs coming off the corner, and that's where the saddles were. And I was like, I have two corners. I could put saddles there. And so we found a local welder who lives not far, and he's done a lot of work for us now. He came and custom built from the very top of the ceiling to the floor with pegs coming out for our saddles.
Wow. And it looks beautiful. It looks,
oh, like it looks great. It looks like it was planned, but 100%
right,
it was
like
not
planned. You wanted to do that all along.
Oh yeah. No, it was, you walk in and you're like, whoops, this is not a big deal. This was not a plan. I mean, there were definitely a lot of, whoops, that might not work. And I'm like our guest tack room, we didn't have anything. And then we bought lockers. And now, I mean, we have more clients and everything. And that's kind of our business model's changed. Well, then we ran out of places to put everybody. So we had to, another project. I got on Pinterest, and this is just recently, we just finished it this week. Doug and I built lockers and a wall for their saddles and redid our guest tack room.
That's so cool. That's awesome. I saw you guys post pictures of that. It looks amazing.
It's good. Yeah. And it worked, and it was awesome. But I mean, that was kind of one of our mistakes, as Sam's like, when I came, there were two clients, and there's a lot more than that now. So it's, you know, just things have changed, which is nice and it's good, but we did not plan for more than like five.
I see.
Space wise.
But you made it work. You retrofitted.
But you know what? Doug and I built a new project. That was, you know, last week's project.
Very cool. All right, everybody. I'm really excited to introduce our guests on the show this month. We have Michael and Lindsay Lennard, who are the co-founders of Horsespot. Maybe you haven't heard of Horsespot yet, but you will, because it is making its way around horse show circuits across the country right now. So Michael is one of the co-founders, and he's CFO of the company, but you might know him in the horse industry because he also has decades of experience in horse show management and has been a rider himself. He's a show jumper who's competed up through the meter 40s. And same with Lindsay. She's also a horse lady, and we're happy to have her on. So she is a co-founder of Horsespot and also the lead product designer behind the brand. She lives in Charleston with her husband, who is also a partner in Horsespot. They met while they were working at horse shows, which is a great horse show love story. I love it. But she has a background in global advertising and working with tech startups, and we can't wait to learn more about Horsespot. Hi, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
So excited you're here. And I wanted to ask you guys, just to start off, what made you want to create Horsespot?
Well, let me tell you guys the story. And really, we need to tell you about how we all met and got started in horse shows. So Lindsay's husband, our third co-founder, Christopher, is also my brother. And Christopher and I were naturally getting dragged to the barn because our mom was also a horse lady and still is a horse lady to this day and still has a horse and rides in Illinois, where our parents are from and where I split my time between there and Florida. So we grew up riding in Illinois, and I started in Pony Club and then started riding and going to horse shows from there. Christopher also caught the bug and started riding and going to horse shows. Fast forward to college, and I joined my college equestrian team and wound up captaining that team. It was Northern Illinois University. And my college equestrian team coach actually got me my first job doing ribbons and awards for the A-rated horse shows in the Chicago area called Lamplight and Ledges. And those were the same horse shows that I had gone to for many years growing up. So it felt really familiar to be there and now getting a taste of doing things on the management side. So that fasted forward into office work. And then Christopher started working those same horse shows a few years later. He went to college, started riding on his college equestrian team as well, and also needed a summer job. So started working these horse shows. And even after we finished college, we stayed involved in show management on the side. I continued to do it just because I loved it, and I was still there riding as well. My brother, you know, was still finishing school himself. Then he decided to get a master's degree and continued to work in horse shows while he was getting that degree. He actually changed course, and what was originally going to be a law degree turned into a software engineering degree, largely inspired by the fact that he was working frequently as the show secretary at these same Chicago horse shows and feeling like he was could be inspired as to his ideas on making horse show software different and making it better. So as time went on, Christopher and Lindsay got together, and Lindsay and I became friends because she was already working as a trainer at the barn that I was riding at. And that's how we all kind of got together. And that continued for many years up through all of us, you know, continuing to pursue our careers, myself in business and accounting. I have a CPA, and I then went on to work in consulting and got a certification as a forensic examiner. So I worked in fraud investigations and doing forensic accounting projects. And Christopher also pursued, you know, his technical passion in software engineering and worked for several different companies working on some really great software engineering and coding products. Lindsay, in the meantime, also got her degree in in graphic design and product design, and pursued her own career working for several different agencies and then starting her own agency. And all of this, you know, mixed with our passion for horses, were the different skill sets that really brought HorseSpot together. So Christopher's technical skills, Lindsay's amazing creativity and product design skills, and then my extensive, you know, networking and understanding of the industry, of the management side of things, and then bringing my financial side to like the financial operations of the company as well.
What have you guys learned throughout creating HorseSpot?
One thing that we learned along the way while developing HorseSpot is that getting to the market quicker has helped us really learn the needs of our customers a lot faster. And I think as an entrepreneur, half the battle is really just getting started. And that's one thing that Christopher, Michael, and myself, that's one thing that we're really good at. We knew horse shows, and we knew the need that needed to be fulfilled for show managers. So really, we just kind of got our hands dirty and started prototyping and creating designs in Figma. And we brought our product to the market only 6 months into ideation and development. So we were moving really quickly, and we were far from perfect when we started. But one thing that we've learned is that good things add up in incremental steps. So we knew we weren't going to have the perfect product, you know, out of the box, built out platform to start with. So a lot of it was really just getting started while working our full-time jobs. So that was definitely a challenge in itself. It took us 2 years to get to where we are now, all of us collectively working full-time on HorseSpot, and we've done a lot in that short time frame. So we're really proud of what we've accomplished. But again, I think getting to the market quicker helped us understand what really needed to be accomplished in those 2 years. And I know Michael has some other thoughts on some other things that we've learned, because there are a ton of lessons that have come out of HorseSpot. Definitely not just one lesson.
Yeah, I would say, you know, we have also really learned, you know, how to approach our different users. And by that, I mainly mean all of the different show secretaries out there that are, you know, using the different tools that we're making, especially in the back end of the platform, the most day in and day out, you know, while they're running the horse shows. And, you know, certainly selling software to some of like the older generations that are secretaries out there brings its own challenge. But what's been really interesting and, you know, fun to watch has been the change and kind of the overall tune and tone of folks in like the 2 years since the platform has been live. So less and less, you know, we're seeing people that are hesitant to be interested in taking a look at that at our software. And I think that that's largely because we've worked hard to really prove how reliable the platform is. You know, so like to this day, you know, you're still going to get some folks out there that like, at least, you know, at first aren't necessarily receptive to change. And, you know, and you might hear some of the same things about how, you know, they've been doing it, you know, this way and that way for so long. And they, you know, they don't really know if making a change is the right thing to do. And, you know, and I get that because, and certainly, you know, like everyone at HorseSpot, like we understand that because I have been, you know, working as a show secretary and sometimes working with, you know, some of these folks, you know, that do have some hesitancy for a long time. And, you know, what's also interesting is that just running HorseSpot as a company, building the platform and, you know, running our operations on a day to day, we interface with so many other technology tools and things that we're using. And a lot of that, you know, brings inspiration in how we want to see HorseSpot operate and the experiences that we want our users to have. So, you know, sometimes we're like taking some of the best things that we're seeing in, you know, some of the other platforms that we're using, and certainly, you know, learning from some of the things that we don't like as well. Ultimately, you know, I think that we help users feel comfortable and, you know, and we give show organizers that trust, you know, that using something that's new is actually the way to go. And they're seeing it too, as it becomes, you know, an ever-growing space in, you know, in our horse show environment.
Yeah. I think, you know, what's interesting to me, Michael and Lindsay, is like, as a competitor, you know, and I'm lucky to live in Florida where there's a lot of options for horse shows and a lot of really beautiful new venues that are perhaps a little bit more like ready to engage with new platforms, right? Like they're just, they get it a little bit more, but then there are still so many horse shows that we're used to dealing with like this old kind of clunky antiquated tech, like web interfaces that look like they're from 1999. No offense to anybody, you know, like they work and we use them, but it is kind of amazing to me when I think about like the very bright people and the connections that many equestrians have with others in the world outside of the sport, that a lot of the things we do are still so like behind the times, and the tech we use for horse shows is 100% one of them. You know, my husband plays other sports, you know, like he plays golf and he's a marathon runner. And it's amazing to me that he can be lounging on the couch and be able to like sign up for a race or book a tee time from his phone. And I just am always like, what do you mean you like signed up for this race on your phone? Like, I feel like that's can be impossible to do for horse shows sometimes. So that is a long-winded way to say, like, I feel like what you're doing with HorseSpot has been a long time coming. Like, we've needed somebody to do this. And this is very exciting. You guys are going to laugh, but I've like, last year, I have faxed in my horse show entries.
What?
I'm not going to laugh because this is one of the only industries where I still believe it.
Yeah. Yep. So we need you, and what you're doing is great. And not only from probably a management perspective, but just from my end of it as a competitor, I mean, just to make the process easier and more seamless in like how we do everything today, how easy it is to buy something from Amazon or, you know what I mean? I just feel like it's beyond time to do this. But so I'm just curious, like, how's it going? I mean, how does the tech work? Because I also think about the places I go for these horse shows, right? Some, like, I feel like I enter a dead zone a lot of times where the cell service is so bad. Does that affect how HorseBot is able to work?
You know, it's funny you say that because I actually recently wrote a blog article on your exact question and this topic. So one of the things that makes HorseBot fundamentally different than the vast majority of other tools that we have been used to using when we're signing up to go to a horse show or when you're going to that horse show and you're looking at scheduling and results is that our program or our platform is cloud-based, which actually isn't, you know, a daunting or crazy thing. It just means that the platform operates in a browser and, you know, and works on any device, you know, your computer, your tablet, your phone, the same way we're using this podcasting software also in a browser. Now, like the old ways that we used to do things that I'm sure we remember too, is by physically downloading software onto your computer,
right,
and then you double click on it and it opens up a little window and then you operate within that window. That's, you know, called server-based software. And the majority of horse show secretaries out there are still used to doing that. And then they're playing this game, which I commonly call pass the laptop, because the software only exists on, you know, one computer. And so they will literally pass it around to different horse shows, you know, so that those horse shows can kind of like piggyback and all use that same software to run their horse shows on their show dates. Now enter, you know, a platform like HorseBot that breaks down all of those barriers, because you can just pull up any laptop and, you know, or a tablet or a phone, open up, you know, Google Chrome or Edge or any browser that you want, pull up HorseBot and, you know, log in with your admin credentials as a secretary and off you go. Now, in order to do something like that, you need to have some kind of connectivity. But what's great is that a lot of our horse shows out there that are running on HorseBot are just using the mobile hotspot options that are becoming so easy and prevalent now.
Gotcha.
You know, so
okay.
Every phone out there, you know, has the ability, every smartphone out there has the ability to turn on your personal hotspot, and you can connect, you know, one or multiple computers to that. And then, you know, like I also have a little mobile hotspot that, you know, I think mine's actually from Verizon, and I just pay, you know, a pretty cheap monthly fee, and that acts as a hotspot too. And what's great is that we're seeing a lot of horse shows that are opting to actually use that instead of using like the old clunky Wi-Fi that, you know, is kind of like connected to their barn or, you know, maybe operates in their viewing room. And, you know, and that is like more than sufficient for these guys to run HorseBot, largely because Christopher's done a great job of building the platform to operate like in low connectivity environments. So much so that I am frequently on airplanes and, you know, on flights, and I'm using like the, you know, that notoriously unreliable, you know, airplane Wi-Fi that, you know, that we can all log into. And you guys, it's good enough for me to
be
working in HorseBot. And, you know, I'll be doing stuff for like my own horse shows that, you know, that I run and manage on HorseBot. I'll also, you know, be answering questions that other people have on their HorseBot horse shows. And it's as easy as me just opening a new tab in my browser, pulling up their HorseBot site, logging in, and I can see everything that they see as a secretary, which means that, you know, we continue to just provide this, you know, this amazing superior level of support to all of our show organizers and secretaries and managers out there that are using the platform, because, you know, we can see everything that they're seeing. And that's something that a lot of these secretaries aren't used to. They're used to, you know, again, operating in those server-based programs where, you know, only they can see what's on their laptop, and you can, you know, call, you know, whoever they're getting their software tool from, and those guys can do some things to help, you know, but it's not nearly as seamless as, you know, as what we can do.
Even work. No, that's amazing. Can you tell us which circuits are you guys working with and where are they? Where is HorseBot like being used?
Whoa.
Oh.
I know. I'm still working on trying to, you know, get out to one of those Bermuda shows in person.
Right?
Yeah, right.
But what, you know, what's so exciting is that, you know, we are scouring the United States and, you know, and as well as, you know, North America. And it is now, I'm losing track, but, you know, over 400 horse shows on the platform that are running annually. They are USCF rated, large and small. They are more unrated horse shows out there than any of us, you know, could ever recall. And it's not just hunter jumper, it's other disciplines too. Dressage, eventing, combined training, breed shows, Western pleasure, ranch, reining, even hobby horse. And then there are the organizations and the clubs that we are working with too. So our software supports IHSA, the Intercollegiate Horse Shows Association, NCEA. We support IEA horse shows. We work with the United States Pony Club. We support 4-H events. Sky's the limit. And oh, and then another thing that we're so excited to be talking about is the release of our beta version of features to also support organizations and associations. So it's not just the horse shows, but it's also, you know, all of those small and not so small these days, you know, associations and other orgs that, you know, are also tracking points and needing to manage memberships and are, you know, maintaining cumulative standings and high point awards and are doing other things, you know, to like engage with our equestrian communities. And a lot of them have boards and they want to be putting out announcements. And there is, you know, an invoicing and a payments piece of that, just like there are to horse shows. And so we are building features to help those organizations and associations, just like we're helping show managers. And so the first part of that is literally being released this week, you know, and so we're talking to, you know, the group of folks that and organizations out there that are ready to start using these features with us right off the bat. And so that first chunk of features revolve around membership management. So when you guys think about needing to like register your horse, register yourself, you know, as part of the organizations that you're part of, and think about all of the times that you've had to do that where those organizations haven't really had any type of a process other than like filling out a form and writing a check, you know, or maybe
right.
You know, putting together some kind of like a Google form or something on their webpage that, you know, technically works, but there's still some clunkiness to it. And there's no good way for them to really solve the payments part of things. You know, HorseSpot is there and we're starting to help those guys just this week.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Michael and Lindsay, where, if our listeners are just learning what HorseSpot is today from listening to our interview, where can they find you? Where can they try it out themselves or learn more information?
You guys can engage with us directly in social media. You'll find Lindsay, Christopher, and myself on all the platforms out there. And we love to talk to folks. I would also encourage people to check out our blog, because I never thought that I would become a blog writer and a self-proclaimed blog nerd, but here I am. So check out blog.horsespot.net. And then the last thing that I'm excited to tell people to start checking out is our brand new help center, which is help.horsespot.net. And that is a free resource for everyone out there. We now literally have dozens of articles and videos and helpful how-tos. And they're not just catered for show organizers and the secretaries. We've also built pages that are specifically geared for, you know, exhibitors and spectators and competitors, you know, to understand the ins and the outs and all the different things that HorseSpot can do for them. So I'm excited for people to continue to take advantage of that.
That's awesome.
It's true. The list never stops. Actually, what's kind of fun is that just last weekend, I officiated as one of the judges for my very first USCF Arabian horse competition.
Cool.
So it was the
Arabian Horse Association's Region 8 Championships in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Nice.
And then they also used HorseSpot to run all of their dressage scoring and all of their dressage results for the competition. So I keep getting into things that I never would have dreamed of, even, you know, just a couple of years ago.
That's very cool. Well, Michael and Lindsay, we're happy to have you on the show and learn more about HorseSpot, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more from you guys soon. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. We really enjoyed it.
Belted Out Goods has a belt for every rider. From beautiful colors like the spring collection, which just launched, to popular staples from stripes to sparkles to woven patterns, you can find a belt to match your unique style at beltedoutgoods.com. All right, everybody. So this episode has quite a few surprises. In the beginning, we told you Ellie wasn't here, but surprise, she is. And also, we have another surprise. We have our good friend, Sally Spickard, who is from Eventing Nation, but obviously a former host of Hills Down. And we're just so happy to have her back. Hey, Sally, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I'm so happy to be here. I feel like it's been forever because it has.
It has.
It's been forever. Oh my God.
Although I've seen Jess more often than you.
I was going to say, I still see Sally.
Probably
which
fix
is,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It has been a while, but Sally's so good. Every time she comes down, she tries to see me. Like, I feel like we try to do dinner when you're in Florida.
I do. Yeah. And actually, I just started planning my Florida trip, not for like going to Ocala because like whatever, but because the Epic Universe just opened.
Oh, really?
The new theme park. And yeah. I really want to. I'm not a theme park nerd, you guys. I don't want that to be out there in the world that I'm a theme park nerd. Uh-oh. But
for this one,
I really want to go to this one. Yeah, it looks really cool.
I will warn you, there's no shade.
That's fine. We're going to go in like February. Okay, so good. I don't go in the summer. I don't touch Florida in the summer. No offense, but no, I don't.
We've had reporters there the last several weeks, you know, because it's opening.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Yeah.
And they're all like, there's literally no shade anywhere. And I'm like, people are.
That's frustrating. Yeah. People are going to pass out.
Yeah.
Like going in July or even like, I don't know, May.
Yeah. Right now, she said it was already so hot.
Yeah, we have feels like temps and the triple digits this week.
It's no, warm. Thank you.
Yeah. But speaking of podcasts, Sally, you have your own podcast again.
I do. I know. It's weird.
Why? It seems very natural. Well,
as you say,
it doesn't actually feel that bad, but it feels I don't like attention and I don't like things to be about me. And I'm very much like having it be quote unquote my show was like very off-putting to me. But I feel like what I try to do is let the guests or the co-host, as we call them, you know, kind of really shine and sparkle. And so that feels good to me because it's gotten really good response. Like I've been pleasantly surprised.
You do a great well job. And I feel like you're filling a really neat void. Like there are a million podcasts of all different types, right? Not just horse world podcasts, but I feel like you fill an interesting void in the market. Like I think it's very unique and I feel like it's for people who like live and breathe the sport and
yeah.
You do a wonderful job. Every episode.
Oh, well, thanks guys. I learned a lot from being on this show with you. And I have to say it's definitely like a heavy lift to not have two or three other people kind of sharing the space with you at all times. Like that was an adjustment. But I certainly learned a lot from doing this with you guys and took a lot of kind of little bits and pieces of all the podcasts that I liked. And I really wanted to kind of fill a niche that was a little bit different than kind of a traditional interview show because we have so many wonderful shows that are kind of focused more on get to know you interviews.
Yeah.
And we do a little bit of that. Like I'm going to have some people on that people don't know as well, like at least in the States. And so there will be some more of that traditional, you know, get to know you type stuff. But the thing is, I really wanted people to think. Like I really wanted to bring people that are thought leaders in the sport or have ideas and discuss like what could we be doing differently as a sport, because I think there's always room for growth, especially now. So I do feel like I'm accomplishing that.
I love that. I think that's great. I mean, yeah, our show is different, right? Like it's
right,
it's like controlled chaos but mostly chaos.
Well, and to be fair, I wanted our show to be more chaotic, but honestly, I just think I am not chaotic enough of a person. I'm going to have to start.
You're like, no, I'm just more the organized type, so I'm going to have to just stick with what I am. Exactly.
I have to, like, force myself to be chaotic and, like...
No, you just do what you're good at. You know what I mean? And apparently we're good at chaotic, so it's fine.
Okay. Yeah, 100%. Everybody has their strength, and I think that is a strength.
That is not yours, and that's okay. So you're just going to have to embrace the organized part of yours.
But so
100%.
The Go Eventing podcast obviously stems from, you know, Eventing Nation as a brand, as a media outlet that covers the sport of eventing, but you did really build it from scratch. Like, tell us a little bit.
The podcast,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, like how you, how you decided, like, hey, I'm going to make this whole brand new thing. And now that you've got a few episodes under your belt, like, how's it going?
It's going well. So we worked on this for, I mean, the better part of a year. Like, we did our first kind of attempt at something like this at Maryland Five Star 2 years ago, and it will live in my brain forever because we tried to do lives, and you guys know how hard live is.
Yeah.
And I had a rotating cast of guests, which was cool, and we did it at one of our sponsors' booths, but it was just really low quality, which is fine, but like, I don't know, I think like 100 people watched them, so that's great, because yeah. I was just like, these are just not really representative of what I wanted to accomplish. They just weren't very smooth. They were more chaotic. There we go. It was there more was. Chaotic, and I didn't like it.
I mean, when we did our lives, I feel like we were drinking.
We just embraced the chaotic. We're like, yeah. I'm pretty sure we had a bourbon tasting for one of them.
Yeah.
And really, and I think that's very like exactly us. Your style. and it's, I can't do it. So anyway, we worked on this, you know, we kind of went back to the drawing board and said, okay, what do we want to do with this? And I was iterating with our team on all the ways that we wanted to bring kind of like what we wanted to bring to the table. Because again, we wanted to be able to kind of fit into the space, not step on anybody's toes or not overtake anybody. We just wanted to kind of fit in. And so that's kind of where the idea came from. But we also wanted to kind of bring an element of kind of that news competition coverage, because that is what we do. So sure. Why would we not talk about that? So I think it does, again, I think it kind of actually, it's probably the most similar to like an Equal Ratings podcast, except we really stay away from like the stats and the numbers, because that's very much their wheelhouse. We'll reference them. But I think we bring some more of those story elements and some of the other news, you know, things like rule changes and FEI meetings and stuff that people, you know, it's hard to kind of write about. That felt like really good fodder for that. So, and we have already started talking about spinoff shows, because to your point about chaos, I feel like we have so many people on our team that would do so well hosting shows that are a little bit like, I don't know, different or funny in their own way. Like, I really want to, well, I'm not going to give away the whole bag right now, but I want to start doing some stuff with like amateurs or lower level writers or other people in the sport. And I think kind of having like an amateur happy hour type thing.
Yeah.
Not that exactly, but no, something no, like
but
that.
Like,
anyway,
yeah, just so a kind of engaging.
Eventually.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is your goal for this year and the future?
So actually it's funny because I was just thinking about this. This year we were going to do a mid-season break kind of in July, kind of between major events after Rebecca Farm and Aachen get finished, and then kind of come back at the end of August ahead of European Championships. But now we have so many interesting people that are interested in coming on the show that I'm like, well, might as well just kind of keep going.
Gonna keep going.
And we do need to keep growing it. I mean, we're growing our audience with every episode, but of course, you know, as you guys know, it takes time to kind of get those big numbers. But I think that's kind of our short-term goal, is we're just going to kind of keep doing these biweekly shows. I've already started to feel with the news, especially in the competition coverage, that a weekly show is probably not out of the range of possibility, but I didn't want to overwhelm our team. Like, we're all doing this ourselves. We have somebody that does the marketing, somebody that stepped up and is producing it. So it's very much a team effort, and I didn't want to overwhelm everybody. But looking kind of big picture, I do see us moving into just diversifying our media platforms that much more. I would like to get into some video production, some short documentary type storytelling. So I'm hoping that the podcast will allow us to kind of lead into just, again, diversifying how we're telling our stories.
Cool. I think that sounds great.
Yeah. I'm excited. It's fun.
Well, and you, I mean, Sally, you travel so much for events. Like, you were in Paris, then in Kentucky, and then, you know what I mean? Like, you guys are everywhere, which is awesome. Do you think that the podcast, would you try the lives again, I guess, now that you've found a new medium? And
I think that we would, because what I really wanted to create was kind of like a Sports Center type show.
Cool.
That does like a highlight recap show at major events. I tried to do the Kentucky winners. Because my goal this year, I was like, okay, I'll try to grab the five-star, like the major event winners, and do a mini episode with them. Like, that was my goal. So I went into Kentucky and I was like, okay, Michael Young's going to win. And I was already planning out like what I wanted to ask him, because I think he'd be so fascinating on a podcast.
Yeah.
And then I go up to him on Sunday at the press conference and I go, hey, Michael, do you have to get on a plane right away? And he goes, no. And I said, okay, well, we just started this podcast and I don't know if you have time, but if you have like 15 or 20 minutes after the press conference, I'd love to maybe grab you for a minute if you'd be up for that. And he just kind of got this look on his face and I was like, ah, he's about to shoot me down. And he just goes, no. I was like, okay. And I was like, and I kind of like, because, you know, I don't know. I'm 100% confident that Michael knows who I am, but like we've interacted a lot of times by now. So I kind of like needled him a little bit. I was like, come on, man. I was like, you know, you just won Kentucky again, blah, blah, blah. And he's just was like, no. And I was like, okay. And so Will Coleman had already said he would do it, and that was fine. But once I couldn't get Michael, I was like, well, that was kind of the big get. But I will say, I said, Michael, will you come on at some point? And he said, oh, yeah. And I was like, okay, so eventually he will be on the show. I don't even remember where I was going with that. But I do want to, I think the traveling to events is what we were talking about.
Yeah.
I do think that's something I'd like to do. I'm very much of the mind of not wanting to do too much too soon and wanting things to go as well as possible. So
and a little bit more planned.
I think we're going to take this year. Exactly. I think we're going to take this year and kind of just build and see how it goes and, you know, let that kind of dictate what we do next.
I love that. And so where can our listeners find your show?
So the Go Eventing podcast is available on all of the podcast platforms. If you have a platform that you like and you don't see us, just give us an email at podcast@eventingnation.com and let us know. But I think we're everywhere. And then you can also find us on eventingnation.com. There's a little menu at the very top that says podcast. You can find all of our episodes there as well.
Awesome. Well, since we've got you here, you have to play Rose and Thorn for old time's sake.
Excellent.
So who wants to go first? Ellie, you want to go?
Yeah, I want to go.
All right. Tell us, where are you? Where in the world is Ellie Wozniacka right now?
Ellie is in Santa Fe, New Mexico right now, which is very strange because I have not left my home in a very long time. So really cool. I've never been to New Mexico before, so definitely has to be my Rose. It's a new place, and so far it's beautiful, and I, you know, am loving looking at all the sights. My thorn, however, is that I have like forgotten how to travel. So it was an eventful day because I forgot how many carry-ons you're actually allowed. And so that was at like 5 o'clock this morning. And I always forget that people don't understand what hat cans are. So I got stopped so many times in three different airports asking what I had. Like, oh, that's a neat bag. And, you know, what do you have in there? I got racing turtle. If there was like insects in it, like what, like, excuse, like just random people will come up and be like, excuse me, what's in there?
What?
And I'm like, it's a hat.
It's a hat. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, so apparently very uncommon. I was surprised. Usually when you get more south, you know, people know what they are. But no, even in New Mexico, people were like, what is that? And like flight attendants were asking me. It was a big thing.
Wow.
So that was fun. But also glad I got my refresher on how to travel and the federal laws that you are not prohibited or it's, you know, you're not allowed to have carry on and a personal item. That's not allowed. I was like, I thought you got a carry on, a purse and a bag. And she's like, no. I'm like, oopsie. So I made four bags into three bags and then checked one. So,
oh boy. So yeah. No, traveling these days is like a new fresh hellscape to you. Yeah. Like I always think about you, Jess, like you and Doug, how you guys get to, like, obviously you have to go to an airport to fly your own airplane, but like you guys get to skip the mess a lot of the times.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Can you start taking me to events?
I know.
Right.
Actually, no, I don't think I want that.
And then everybody's like, I want to go. And I'm like, would you get a small airplane? They're like, absolutely not. Good. I'm like, okay.
I did it one time and I was so scared. My little brother was flying too. That would made it worse.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So Mary Beth does it all the time. She's like, I want to go. And I'm like, you're not going to get in the plane. She's like, you're right. I'm not getting in the plane. So
I've told him I would do it.
Yeah.
But I haven't actually made it to the side of the plane yet, so take that with a grain of salt.
We'll see. We'll see. Stay tuned. It will Sally get in the plane.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have to get video proof of that.
So, Sally, you want to go? What's your rose and thorn?
Sure. Okay, my rose is that I just started a new hobby. I started bouldering.
Ooh, look at you.
I've been like 5 times, so like it's very, very new. But I really like it because it's very kind of, it's got like such a problem solving aspect to it. And I like the use of like your own strength to make things happen. So anyway, there's a new gym that just opened by me and I've been really enjoying it. But I don't advise anybody to go after 5 p.m. because that's when it just turns into a complete zoo. I was there last night and I was like, okay, cool. This is why I go in the middle of the day. Like, this is entirely too much.
It's funny. Like, when I moved here to St. Pete, like, there's a climbing gym. And that was, like, the cool millennial thing to do is to do the climbing gym. And then in the evenings after work. But now I feel like recently I've just, like, I see on like horse Instagram, like horse girls are getting into this right now. Like it's making a resurgence. It's interesting.
I would actually say, one of my horse friends in Florida is who got me into it. And she took me when I was in Ocala this winter. Cause I was like, she's like a total pro. And I was like, can you take me a couple times and just teach me the ropes so that when I go by myself, it's cool. And so, but it's interesting. Cause I probably know 3 other horse girls that climb too.
Same. I know. We're probably talking about the same one too.
We probably are. Yeah. Probably are, but it's just so funny. It's like its own, and it's like a very communal sport too, which it reminds me a lot of eventing in that way. So yeah, I mean, it's all fun. So that's my rose. What is my thorn? I feel like I'm about to jinx myself because I feel like I don't have many thorns at the moment. But I guess my thorn would be that I'm home for the next few weeks and I'm kind of in that like less busy phase between events right now where I don't have as much work to do. So I've been like really, really lazy, which actually isn't a total thorn, but it's making me get a little behind on things that are coming up. So it's like a cycle every single like few weeks this happens to me. So that's where I'm at. That's a really bad thorn, but that's what I got.
I like it. I get it. It's okay. Embrace being lazy. You're allowed to be lazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Once in a
while. That's true. Yeah. That is true. I'll take it.
What about you, Jess?
So my rose that I've kind of already mentioned is that I'm so excited we get to go to, in June, we're going to do Upperville Horse Show in Loudoun, which I've spent a lot of time in Virginia in the Middleburg area, but I've actually never gone to the Upperville or Loudoun Horse Show. So I am super excited.
It sounds so pretty.
Oh, I'm like, it's like one of those, it's like iconic, like old school take you back in time horse shows, and they have a 4-star as well for the first week. So we are going to bring, we have a lot of clients going, which is fun. And we've got our horses, but I'm excited. And then the next month we're doing Traverse City and I've already like started planning and all of that. So I'm really excited of like, you know, there's a bunch of restaurants that our friends have like sent us. And like, so I'm like a planner in the sense of like trying to get reservations and make sure. So that is definitely my rose, is to attend those 2 horse shows, or technically 3 because Loudoun, but those, you know, couple weeks of horse shows should be a lot of fun. So I'm really excited just to kind of do something different and change up our summer plans. And then my thorn is not really a thorn, but it scares me, I guess is what it's more, because where it's going to lead. We're full blown pony mode right now. Abigail's like in love. And not that I'm scared, like she's going to ride, like if she wants to ride or not ride, like we'll be supportive. But currently it's a boy pony and that's fine. But like she plays dress up every day with it. And she is currently in 2 twos. And today I think it had over 10 bows in its mane and tail and had extensions. Like they have these like extensions for like, you know, that the kids wear, like toddlers wear, like, right? Like, so they can be like a pretty princess and it's like pinks and Elsa hair. And the pony was wearing those today. And then she decided to ride the pony in all of the bows. And I was like, wow, you have a tutu on and all the bows. Like, I'm a little scared because I don't know.
That pony's living its best life.
Oh, the pony loves it. I mean, the pony, I don't even know. It went out for like an hour this morning and then it played with her for like 3 hours. It's the best pony. I mean, we lucked out 100%, but I like die laughing that, you know, she just plays dress up every day with this pony. Like, can't wait to see what it's going to wear tomorrow. I mean, it's worn sombreros. Like, every day is a new day, I feel like.
Oh, my goodness.
So.
I love it.
That's my thorn, is I'm not sure where I'm going to end up with these costumes, basically. Like, am I going to have to go, like, find new costumes for it? We're going to, like, play dress up? So, we'll see. But it is really cute.
All right.
Justine, what about you?
I think my rose and my thorn are the same thing in that it's Terra Nova. I went to Terra Nova 2 weekends ago for Mikey's second rated dressage show of the year. And, okay, it's sort of a long story, kind of. But so I went to this horse show and I went by myself because I'm still an eventer at heart. And I was like, I'm fine. I can do this by myself. And my trainer was like, are you sure? You're like my only client that like wants to go and do this by yourself. And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Like, it's fine. Like, it's what? It's 3 dressage tests. Like, how bad can it be? And then I got there and had a complete meltdown. So, and wished I didn't go by myself. But poor Alex, like, Terra Nova's like literally, you know, without the horse trailer, like an hour and a half from my house. But I got there and, you know, Mikey and I are still working out the kinks after a lot of time off. So we had a bad warm-up day. Terra Nova is a big environment. It's, you know, it's like going to WEC or, you know, and he hasn't been to a venue like that in many years. So maybe I should have anticipated that a little bit more. But so day one, bad. My poor husband drove down there with the dogs. You know, we got a hotel. We're staying down there for the weekend. And he drove all the way out there, had the dogs. It's a lot of walking. Terra Nova is a big place. And I'm like melting down. I'm just acting horrible. I'm just like a miserable person to be around because I am now thinking I wasted all this money at this horse show and it's going to be a disaster. And I'm going to have these word I can't say on the air scores from this weekend. And on top of that, I forgot my effing sin chill. And so Alex like, I don't want to spend any time with you. Where is the sin chill? And I'm like, it's back at the barn at home in my tack box. And he's like, I'm going to go get it. So he did. I think he spent like 3.5 hours in the car round trip driving all the way back.
Aww. He's like, I need to get away though.
Yeah. He was like, I'm not ready for this.
Real sweet, but also.
He's like, please, it's fine. I'll be in the car. It'll be fine. So he drove all the way back, got my sin chill. Whether I actually needed it, I don't know, but it made me feel better, so I'm glad he did. And then the show went fine. We had one test that we bombed, but then it got better, and I feel like I needed that for myself. Like, if I want to be serious about, like, doing the dressage now, like, this is the world I live in. I've got to get used to this, and I needed it for myself then, and I'm glad the trainer didn't come and yada. Anyways, it all worked out. I needed it. But dressage shows are hard. Like, the thorn aspect of this is, you know, Terra Nova was beautiful. It was the weekend that there was like a big para dressage qualifier. So there were like very like well-known people walk, like Adrian Lyle was there over the weekend. Like, there were very well-known people at the horse show. It was exciting to be there for that. But it is a different world coming from eventing, you know. Like, I'm pretty sure Mikey was the only thoroughbred on the entire property. I definitely felt like I had imposter syndrome. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like you can kind of bomb in the warm-up and like the girl riding the horse next to you is like totally been there, you're fine. You know what I mean? Like, there's just people are friendlier in eventing, where everyone is very quiet at a dressage show. You know what I mean? Like, there's just no easy entryway into like making friends with the person in the stall next to you, or you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
Felt a little clicky, like, you know, and maybe that was because I was there by myself, which is my own fault. But so, dressage divas, if you have any tips, maybe I'm not being fair to dressage. I don't know. It's just like, you spend a lot of money to horse show. Like, you want to have fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you want to have friends there, or at least friendly people.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. And I was just like, and Alex is like, is this what we do now? Like, this is it. And I'm like, yeah, this is it.
This is it.
I told Justine that she should try Western dressage.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
I'm
going
to do it. I'm going to do it. But yeah,
I will send you a Western saddle to use.
Okay, because I wouldn't even know where to begin with that.
I don't even know how to put one on. I'm not going to lie. I should learn that skill at some point.
But yeah, so I don't know. I'm facing a mini dressage identity crisis, but hopefully I'll figure it out. We'll see.
You got this.
Thank you. But Sally, hey, thanks so much for coming on. It was so great to have you and to chat.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. It was nice to hang out for a little bit. And Jess, I know I'll see you at some point, but Justine will have to make something happen.
Absolutely.
Come to Epic Universe with me. There you go.
Okay. In February.
She sounds really excited about this.
As long as it's February. All right, Ellie, we have a mailbag that is most definitely for you, because I don't even know where to begin, and I would be surprised if Jess did. But we have had a couple of questions in our Facebook group related to Western wear. So the questions are, I'm taking some lessons just for fun and with a great trainer nearby, and I want to wear, like, to my first lesson, something to feel confident but not look silly. What do Western riders wear that offer respect to their trainer but are still comfy? And then another listener asks, what are your most favorite or most comfortable brand of jeans that you ride in a Western saddle?
Okay. So basically, it's whatever the heck you want. Ultimately, you know, some things cross over, right? Like tucking your shirt in and things like that. It is more respectful. Personally, for me, I'm a button-down work shirt. There's ones from Ariat that are nice and stretchy. I like the cinch ones personally. And those run you about like $60 or so a shirt. And they're nice too, just to wear. I feel like I can wear them for other non-horsey things too, which is nice. In terms of jeans, that's more of a try them on and see what you like. Because some people like more of a hold, some people like more of a stretch, and it really depends. I've kind of alternated the Ariat jeans. They have like a real line, like R-E-A-L, that I liked for a while, but I personally think I wear through them too fast in a Western saddle, so I am a Kimes Ranch girl. They have lots of different styles. I personally like the Betty, which is like a more of a, like an in-between of a straight leg and a boot cut. But if you go with that brand, I would recommend sizing up, just because the reason these jeans are more durable is because they are tougher denim. So it does not have that stretch. Like, you've got to break them in, you know, in order to get them so where you can have your legs spread wide enough to ride comfortably. So I would just size up. The only thing that I see people who are transferring into Western mess up sometimes, and this is a pet peeve of mine from like my own riding experience, is size up your inseam on your jeans. So like for me, like I wear a 32 if I'm not riding. That's like where my jeans will like just barely not touch the ground. If you are riding, you want to do a 34 because you want to size it up, because when you ride, especially if you're used to using your calves a lot more than you will in Western, your jeans will ride up, your boots will show, and it just doesn't finish the look. You know, if you want to look the part, you got to make sure you've got enough give in your jeans. You want them to bunch a little bit.
Interesting. Okay.
That's like
interesting. I would never, because yeah. I'm thinking of like, man, like the high-waisted Levi's, my favorite pair of jeans, like trying to wear that right now with a, like, and think about climbing in a saddle sounds like a nightmare to me personally. So that's interesting. That is a good tip.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, what I used to do when I showed, I used to wear like under my full chaps, I used to wear black tailoreds.
Really? Wow. Oh.
You know, 'cause usually when you show for horsemanship, you will show in like black, like dress pants. And now I just use black jeans when I have to, but I used to do, yep, tailoreds. And it was much more comfortable, let me tell you. You'll get used to it. There's also a product called Monkey Butt. Yes. I highly recommend using some of that before your first Western lesson, especially if you're going to do it in the summer.
Okay.
Rub some of that where your butt crack or your butt cheeks meet your thighs, because if not, you'll rub.
My goodness. All right. Good tips. Well, so if you have a question for us and you'd like us to answer it on the air, you can always send us an email. Our email address is justine@heelsdownmedia.com. Or you can join our Facebook group where we've had these exact discussions in there already. Their Facebook group is the Heels Down Happy Hour Podcast Lounge. And if you want to hear more from us, definitely check out heelsdownmag.com for the latest news and follow us on social media. We're at Heels Down Happy Hour on Instagram and at Heels Down Mag on Facebook and TikTok. And if you love our show, please give us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We want to say thank you to our sponsors this month, Yanmar, Belted Out Goods, and Sunutra Equine. All right, guys, that's a wrap.
Cheers. Cheers.